Welcome to the End Zone Pod Preview Show. I'm your host, Trezon Watkins, and it might sound a little weird to hear the usual co-host in the host seat today. Our regular host, Eric, was not able to make it this week. He has some circumstances going on back where he is at, so he graciously gave me the baton to handle the preview show this week. We're going to have a good time today. We're going to do our regular thing. We're going to talk some football, some old Thursday night football. Week 7, which has some nice games on the slate, and we're going to have a good time. So I couldn't come on the show, you know, my first time being host, without a little nice guest of mine. Mr. Zach Lines, host of the local Nashville Titans podcast, Football and Other F-Words, and also part of Broadway Sports Media. Mr. Zach Lines, how are you this fine Friday morning?
I'm doing good. This is actually a late record for me. We usually record the Football and Other F Words podcast at like 7-6 in the morning. So this is I'm a little bit more full of energy than I usually am.
And that's good. That's good. We're gonna need your energy to talk some football because we got some good games on the slate this weekend. But before we get into that, there was a football game last night in the midst of all the weird, you know, chaos with the debate, presidential debate. There was a football game last night. The Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants battled on Thursday Night Football last night. And let's just say it wasn't the most entertaining of games. The Philadelphia Eagles narrowly escaped last night with a win, but not before they had to come down from a substantial lead just to make it close and get the win in the end. Zach, if you did watch any of the games, Did you enjoy the game if you did watch any of it? And, I mean, what do you got to say about the Eagles? Because they're just – I don't know what to say about them. It's – they're horrible.
I think we need to – and not put them in anymore. I mean, like, let's get these guys out of here. I mean, they're horrible this year. But if I would have put out a tweet last night that just said – these guys suck, you wouldn't know if I'm talking about the presidential debate or the Eagles-Giants game, because both of those things sucked last night. And I will say this, I am glad that the Eagles won because I needed Carson Wentz with Lamar Jackson in fantasy on bye to get that last-minute garbage-time touchdown to Boston Scott. But other than that, how do the Eagles continually find themselves having to get two-point conversions, having to be do comebacks against horrible teams for the most part? I mean, this Giants team, they should never have fallen behind. And I think the best thing, the most accurate description of the game is that Daniel Jones went for 80 yards and then tripped untouched and did not score a touchdown. And it was the longest touchdown run that by a quarterback that didn't end in a touchdown in NFL history since like the 60s. So 2020, y'all, that is it in a nutshell, was this game.
Yeah, I think the Eagles are real lucky that they won that game, because if they had lost that game, that 80-yard trip and fall by Daniel Jones would have been plastered all over sports media shows across the Dago week lead up to the Eagles' next game. So the Eagles are real lucky that they won. And lucky for them, also lucky for them, they still have a chance to win that division because the NFC East is just so bad. I believe the Eagles and Cowboys tied for first with 2 wins apiece, man. So, yeah. Look, man. You can talk about defunded that. Let's defund the NFC East. Let's do that. Let's take everything away from the NFC East. They're disgusting. Let's get that trash game out of the way. I want to talk some actual good football that's going to be happening this weekend. And one of these good supposed games that's supposed to be going on this weekend is Tampa Bay and Las Vegas. I know we all saw Tampa Bay put a spanking on the Packers last week. And when the Packers came in, I believe it was around top three in the league in scoring. So the Bucs defense stepped up. Tom Brady stepped up. Tom Brady to Gronk connection looked new again. Through these first couple weeks, we saw Gronk only as a blocking tight end. He wasn't, you know, featured in any way in the passing game. But he got back into the groove and into the fold on Sunday. I believe it was around 5 catches and a touchdown. So, Zach, did that Buccaneers win on Sunday against Green Bay give you any sort of, I guess you could say, faith in the Buccaneers being Super Bowl contenders if you thought they were if they weren't Super Bowl contenders?
They weren't Super Bowl contenders in my mind. They were definitely playoff locks, and mm-hmm. I've gotten to many arguments about with people talking about this Bucs team being a playoff lock, and they have a good roster. They have a great defense. People, I think, had name associated the Buccaneers defense with bad defense for so long, they didn't really pay attention that they were actually a good defense last year. Mm-hmm. And this offense is clicking. It's starting to, you're starting to see Tom Brady get into a good groove. Super Bowl, I'm not sure. I think that the NFC is still loaded with some top end teams, Seattle Seahawks. I still like the LA Rams. I mean, you got other teams out there. New Orleans Saints, they're up and down, but they're still always going to be in it because of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. So, no, not Super Bowl for me. Didn't really change much for me. I think they have a good chance to win the division, and I think that's about it. I think as the season goes on and the colder it gets in some of these games, the more that Tom Brady is going to fall off because he still is not looking – like the Tom Brady that everybody expects. He is still looking old and stuff. And all it takes is more, I guess, wear and tear on the body and on his arm for those holes in his game to actually show up even further.
Yeah, it's weird to kind of look at the Bucs because that defense is so good. I love that defense. Devin White, Levante David. They still have Jason Pierre-Paul. They still have Ndamukong Suh. They still have some nice, talented guys in that defense. It's just, like you said, it's all about what, you know, Tom Brady can do going forward. You know, so far this year, he hasn't looked like Tom Brady that we, you know, saw in the past, and that's expected. He's 43 years old, and his arm is winding down. But I think Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, Ronald Jones, who's come on. Ronald Jones,
who's come on.
He had some fumbling issues during his first couple of years of his career, and he just didn't, you know, get the consistent snap numbers to get that production, but he's come along real well this year with Tom Brady at the helm. So I wouldn't be too worried about that defense. If that offense can, you know, start playing some consistent football against some of the good teams that they'll play, you know, coming up in the future, then maybe I'll start to buy them as maybe Super Bowl contenders, like you said. But until then, I guess we'll keep them on the fringe, fringe of playoff teams, and then we'll see where they go. Let's talk Carolina and New Orleans. Now, I debated on putting this sort of like a pick'em, but Carolina's played some good football these past couple weeks, excluding that loss to Chicago. That win against Atlanta was real nice. Teddy Bridgewater looked like his old self before that injury. And Mike Davis, who is really, he's been a fantasy, you know, legend for me. While Christian McCaffrey now, he's played some real good football as well. And Robbie Anderson, he's quietly having a real nice season. I believe he's second in the league in receiving yards, which nobody in their right mind would have bet on. So Robbie Anderson is playing some real nice football as well. For New Orleans, Drew Brees looks old. His arm looks dead. Kamara is a fantasy legend again. And they've all done this without Michael Thomas, who's only played one game this year. And we don't even know who's going to return this Sunday since he has some ankle and a new hamstring injury. So, yeah, you have Michael Thomas on your fantasy team. I'm sorry. I'll give you a virtual hug. But, yeah, I hope you have a replacement out there. So, Zach, the Saints just haven't looked like themselves. Compared to the last couple of years, we see Drew Brees' arms just look horrible. Emmanuel Sanders hasn't really consistently had that production at the wide receiver one role with Michael Thomas out. That defense hasn't looked entirely spectacular. Do you think the Saints are in trouble, man? Because they just look average to me. They look average.
It's a very average team. Like, I still believe in Sean Payton, and I believe in Drew Brees to the point where he's not going to lose you games. He's not going to be the gunslinger that's going to be able to win it, but he can still make those deep passes. Maybe it's only once a game. I don't know. Maybe that's all. He only gets one. And we've seen him do it. The kryptonite for this New Orleans team that's keeping me from putting them in to that elite, in the elite of the elite in the NFC this year, is this mind-boggling obsession with of Sean Payton's with Taysom Hill. Always putting him in at the worst moments, and it's not working out. I don't get it. Stop trying to make Taysom Hill a thing and rely on your actual playmakers, your Alvin Kamara, your Jared Cook, your Emmanuel Sanders, and Michael Thomas when he's in. Get this idea that Taysom Hill is your Lamar Jackson ace in the hole kind of deal where he's going to do something spectacular. Put him in at tight end. If you want to use him, put him in at tight end, but stop putting him behind a shotgun and lining him up as a wildcat or whatever you want to call it, and just roll with it. But these continuous decisions to put in Taysom Hill in the wrong spot at the worst times for your offense is what's holding this team back. And I'm not saying anything other than this Michael Thomas situation kind of reeks of he may be gone at the trade deadline. Like, it just is a weird situation right now. I would not be surprised if he was gone. I'd put it like 60% he stays, 40% he's gone. But, you know, I just wouldn't be surprised if you saw someone offer the Saints right now a really high amount of draft picks to get Michael Thomas.
That's spicy.
Yeah,
when you think about it, it actually kind of makes sense. I Michael Thomas, you know, hasn't, you know, exactly, you know, been clicking, you know, I wouldn't say like on the field because he still had that production, but it's just in the locker room and stuff. There's been too many, I guess, say cryptic instances where we just think something's going on, and in the end, something is going on. So that's not entirely out of the realm of possibility. I would say I would agree with you, but I think the Saints would hold, like you said, 60% chance to hold on to him. Like I think they will hold on to him just to, you know, contend this year and see where they are going into next year. The Taysom Hill thing, I was just talking with, you know, the original host, Eric, a couple weeks ago about the whole Taysom Hill thing. For about 15 minutes, we ran about Taysom Hill, Sean Payton, and why Taysom Hill must have, I don't know what Taysom Hill has on Sean Payton to justify him getting.
He has something.
Something. He's just getting these weird snaps for no reason. I don't know. Sean Payton, if you're listening, you're most likely 100% not. But if you are, stop playing Taysom Hill. Alvin Kamara is there. Jared Cook is there. Emmanuel Sanders is there. You're going to have Michael Thomas back. Stop giving the ball to Taysom Hill. Please. Good gosh, please. Zach Lines, football and other F-words and Broadway Sports Media here with me today and this morning. Zach, we're going to do a little pick-em at you. We're going to play some of these good games till the end. Let's start with Dallas and the Washington football team.
I am going to go Washington football team. I think this Washington football team defense is actually just going to swallow Andy Dalton whole. This front seven is really, really good. It's had a kind of a rough go these last few weeks, but I'm going with Washington football team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll go with the Washington football team. Like that Dallas offensive line is hurt, banged up. It's horrible. Andy Dalton starting. Ezekiel Elliott had some fumbling problems. And that defense for Dallas is horrible as well. I'll take Washington football team. So Washington football team wins, they'll be tied for the division lead in NFC East. So, yeah, another sort of statement to show you how disgusting the NFC East is. So, yeah, Washington football team, potential division leaders this weekend. Give yourself a round of applause, Washington fans. Hold on to it as you can because that probably will not last for the rest of the season. So, let's move on. Let's go to Green Bay and Houston.
It's Green Bay. I mean, they've heard all the smack about them getting embarrassed in the Buccaneers game. This Houston team is weird. There's talks that they may even be trying to trade Will Fuller and doing like a complete fire sale right now. Like, we saw what a defensive head coach does when they're in over their head last week with Romeo Crennel's decision to go for it. I know that they still have Deshaun Watson, but this Green Bay defense is really good. Jaire Alexander is having a heck of a year. And to me, you got to go with the Green Bay bounce back with Aaron Jones just tearing it up.
Yeah, I never got what was wrong with Houston this year. We all knew their defense would have some holes coming into the year, but I think it really, you know, these first, the games before Bill O'Brien got fired, so showed how much the Sal Bato was covered up those holes in Houston. Now, I know he's had those mistakes during his first couple of years of his career with Bill O'Brien, even the games that Bill O'Brien was still here coaching. But Deshaun Watson masked those holes that Bill O'Brien made himself, you know, as general manager, trading away DeAndre Hopkins, signing Randall Cobb to a ridiculous deal, which it just looks stupid to me now. And that defense, like I said, it had some holes, but J.J. Watt, Whitney Merciless, when he's healthy or when they're both healthy, are the only difference makers on that defense. Justin Reed at safety is just, I don't know. The linebackers are talented, but they make too many head-scratching plays for me to just put 100% faith in them. So it's been a weird situation in Houston this week, or this season in general, period. So, and they have Green Bay coming in after they just came off a heartbreaking loss to the Titans in overtime. So, Green Bay's pissed. They're hot. They want to, you know, put those doubters wrong this week, and I'll agree with you. I'll go with the Green Bay Packers big in Houston. So, I don't have much confidence that Houston will make it close, but we'll see. Let's go Detroit and Atlanta, Zach.
This is a little bit of an upset pick, but I'm going Detroit Lions. I know the Atlanta Falcons defense is not that good. I know they played well last week with Raheem Morris, but there's always the letdown game after the first game of a new head coach. There's always – you typically when you get the new head coach, you win, and then the next game you lose. And this is just, I think, going to be a pretty good shootout, but I think Detroit Lions are going to end up winning. I think they have the better Matt currently in Matt Stafford. And I'm going to go with the slightly better defense. Right now, Detroit Lions are playing the most man coverage, which is really odd. But I think they're the slightly better defense. And I think that you will see Detroit win 35-27.
That's a nice little score. I was thinking the same rounds as that. Maybe around 33-25, something like that. Some weird score. Atlanta's defense bad. Detroit's defense is bad. But Detroit's offense has been playing real well this season, actually.
Yeah.
So I want to see more DeAndre Swift at that lead back. I know Adrian Peterson is still banging dudes up there in his middle to late 30s. But I want to see DeAndre Swift get some more touches going forward, even when AP decides to come back from his injury. So, I'll say around 33-25, Detroit wins. I'm gonna save these last couple three matches for later pick-ems. So close out this first round of pick-ems. Let's end it with Jacksonville and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Chargers, baby. All day long, this is the number 7 offensive passing team in terms of efficiency. The LA Chargers going up against the worst passing defense in terms of efficiency in the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think with their Joshua Kelly back there and Justin Jackson, I think they have a double-headed monster that is just going to roll all over Jacksonville. It's a no-brainer to me. Gardner Minshew is looking like a capable quarterback, like a quarterback you can roll with. I don't think they're in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes at all, but I think that this still is one of the worst teams with a roster just full of holes, and I just think that the LA Chargers, top to bottom, are a better roster.
Yeah, it's been real fun to watch Justin Herbert's first couple starts as a Charger. It's been really fun. We all, you know, screamed and shouted about the weaknesses that he had pre-draft. And although he still has some of those weaknesses, and they're being displayed a little bit during his first couple starts, he's played some real good football. He's made the Chargers exciting for the first time, and the good Lord knows when. So, that two-headed rushing attack really makes things easier for Justin Herbert, you know, as he tries to navigate his first NFL season in a new city, Los Angeles Chargers. It's just a weird vibe for the Chargers this year. And Justin Herbert, you know, having all this success and making them fun just adds all into itself. But, yeah, I'll take the Chargers in this one. Maybe around, I'll say around 28 to – but let's say 16, something like that. I'm picking weird scores today. It's early in the morning. Cut me some slack.
I like it. I like your weird scores.
Thank you. But we're still sucking it through this morning. I think the Chargers did this one. I love what Justin Herbert is doing up there. In Los Angeles. Zach, I want to step away from the Pickens for a little bit, and I want to talk about a game that, if you, before the season, saw this game on the calendar, maybe it would have brought you a little bit of intrigue, but after the way these two teams have played, you know, the first couple weeks of the season all the way up to week seven now, I don't know if you wouldn't have too much intrigue about this game. I don't know if you'd be entirely interested. Now, I'm talking about San Francisco at New England. I just don't know where to start, you know, with the 49ers. They're so up and down. Jimmy G, when Jimmy G had those, you know, those moments last year, we all thought it was somewhat of a fluke because he was still making these stupid and poor and horrible decisions throwing the football. The San Francisco 49ers defense was just that good enough to cover up for his mistakes. But last week, we saw them get back to their roots, running the football. And Jimmy G looked good. He didn't look too hurt. Like he was in that loss against Miami when San Francisco got entirely blown out. But they look like their old selves. And they're going up against a Patriots team that, I want to say this, outside of Cam Newton and maybe James White, they don't have any reliable playmakers, you know, on offense. I'll add Julian Edelman, but he's not the same as he used to be during those glory days with Tom Brady. So, Zach, I want to have so much faith in the Patriots because I'm a Bill Belichick guy. I love Bill Belichick. I love Bill Belichick. And I'm also a Cam Newton guy. You know that, Brady. You know I'm a Newton guy. He didn't have his best game last week against Denver. And that was after, you know, the whole COVID mess in New England. So, Dak, if let's just say the Patriots do nothing at the trade down. They do absolutely nothing. What do you give – let's say percentage-wise, what percentage do you give the Patriots to do anything in the playoffs, if they even make it? And it's not a lot that they make it.
Yeah, I don't know if they make the playoffs right now. Like, mm-hmm. if you're looking at this team as it sits and what Bill Belichick – I mean, typically when they come off a bye week, which technically the Denver-New England game got canceled and pushed and rescheduled, so they got a bye week. Teams come out looking better at the bye week. This team somehow came out looking worse, and it was against a Denver team that nobody should really have a lot of faith in as a good team. And maybe we're wrong about Denver and everything, but something about this New England Patriots team is just, it's not working. And maybe Josh McDaniels will figure it out, but this is a team that needs to trade for a wide receiver. They may need trade for like three or four of them because they don't really have anybody that he can rely on because Julian Edelman is old. They don't have anybody at tight end that's worth anything. And then N'Keal Harry is looking very pedestrian after having one good game so far this year. Mm-hmm. I'm going San Francisco 49ers. I just think that if they can limit Cam Newton as a rushing quarterback and take away the run game and make him throw and make this team throw, I think they have a good chance at winning this game.
Yeah, I really don't think Bill Belichick is going to go past his trade deadline and not try or attempt to trade for game-changing wide receiver. Even if he has to go out and get A.J. Green's corpse from Cincinnati, then sure, go out and get that. He's better than what you're throwing out there. He's better than N'Keal Harry right now. It's better than N'Keal Harry, even if A.J. Green doesn't seem to have it this year. And that running back, and again, that tight end situation, there's just not a lot of, you know, confidence there. And that running back situation, I think James White, even when he's been out, you know, during this time where he's had to deal with some personal problems, that running attack has still, you know, had some good games here and there, but they just, you know, it's not something you want to rely on. There's Rex Burkhead, there's Sonny Michel, who I don't even get me started on him.
Yeah.
They need somebody. They need somebody. There were rumors going out early in the season about Julio Jones to New England, and highly doubt that happens. But if it does, I think the Patriots have a shot at doing something. I don't know if they'll go far, but I think they'll have a shot at doing something the rest of the season and into the playoffs. Because if they get another wide receiver that can, you know, make a difference and force you to stop throwing to N'Keal Harry, force you to stop throwing to N'Keal Harry, Ben, I think they'll indeed make the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see. I just want to see what Bill Belichick does. He has to, you know, at least like at least he's thinking about trading for a wide receiver. Because that wide receiver core outside of Julian Edelman is piss poor.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's horrible. I'll go with San Francisco here. New England just doesn't have any wide receivers for me to feel confident in picking them. So I'll go with the New England Patriots. New England Patriots, San Francisco. Like I said, coming some slack. It's eight in the morning. I'm not up till 9. Coming some slack, man. We're going to do the rest of these pick-ems, and then we're going to talk some real good games. The best two games of the weekend. After these pick-ems. For the first pick, let's go KC, Denver. Special pick for my boy Aaron. He's not able to be on here. He told me he's feeling more confident in the Broncos after they won against the Patriots last week. The only thing I told him is that you're just setting yourself up for more disappointment and sadness. Eric, I know you're going to listen to this. Please don't have any faith in the Cowboys until they prove to you that you can put your little faith in. Please just avoid the sadness, Eric. Please. Zach, KC, Denver, what do you have, man?
It's KC. I mean, apparently this Denver defense, and nobody's really talking about it, is tied with Pittsburgh as a number one defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
Shockingly enough. And they have all kinds of injuries, which is insane to me to think about. Maybe they do the upset because Kansas City's coming to Denver, but it's hard to root against these Chiefs as far as that they're going to lose. I mean, they're just better than the Chiefs or the Broncos on offense. I know they're getting Noah Fant back. I know they got Jerry Jeudy. Melvin Gordon's practicing. They're fairly healthy on offense. I just don't see this Chiefs defense letting the Broncos and Drew Lock do whatever they want.
Yeah. Drew Lock, he's had some moments. But in no shape or form is Steve Spagnuolo and that Chiefs defense going to let him throw the ball all over the field, the Jerry Jeudy, the Tim Patrick, to Noah Fant if he plays, Phil Lindsay, whoever's up there. Drew Lock, and I guarantee you, Steve Spagnuolo and that Chiefs defense is not going to let Drew Lock have even a speck of success this Sunday against them. So I'll roll with KC as well. There's always that little sneaky suspicion that maybe Denver can make it a game. Maybe just because that Chiefs defense has some struggles and has some holes back there, specifically in the secondary. But no way. No, I'm not picking KC. Not even close. Let's go Buffalo and the New York Jets. Zach. The New York Jets are a dumpster fire. I can't stop talking about how much of a dumpster fire they are. Sam Darnold is literally wasting his talent away under Adam Gase, just like Ryan Tannehill did, just like Kenyon Drake did, just like some other players who have left Adam Gase and have gone on to have much more team success and personal success on other teams. Buffalo, they just lost to Kansas City. Josh Allen looked like the old Josh Allen. He made some errant throws. He just didn't look himself. Zach, I know, I think we both could agree we can go with Buffalo, right?
Yeah, it's no doubt. I mean, Buffalo Bills easily, and they'll stomp them and then trick everybody into believing that they're back. They've righted the ship, and this is the same old Buffalo Bills we all thought was going to be MVP Josh Allen and Coach of the Year Sean McDermott. People will overreact to them beating the Jets and think they fixed everything that's been wrong the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I hope that's not what everybody does. But that's exactly what they're going to do.
So, yeah, it will be exactly what they do.
Exactly what they do. So I'll go with Buffalo. Shouldn't even be close either. It really shouldn't even be close. If it is close, then we need to have a little bit of discussion about those Buffalo Bills. Zach, we're going with the final pick'em, you know, today's podcast. We're going Cleveland, Cincinnati. Could be a sneaky good game. What do you think? What do you think about this game? Sneaky good game or not?
Over on Broadway Sports Media, I picked Cleveland, but it was a hard choice. I think Cleveland just has the better defense. Myles Garrett is playing out of his mind. I think he's going to harass Joe Burrow all damn day. And, I don't know what to make of Baker Mayfield in this offense. You know, one week he looks like the worst quarterback you've ever seen. The next week he looks super efficient. I don't know what it will look like this week, but I don't think the Bengals are that good on defense, so I think he'll have a pretty easy time back there in the pocket.
Yeah, it's hard. And even after, you know, last week's debacle, it was so hard to keep supporting Baker Mayfield because I love Baker Mayfield's personality. I love what he brings to the field. But good Lord, he threw up a stinker against Pittsburgh's defense last week. Anybody can put up a stinker against Pittsburgh's defense. But Baker Mayfield was especially horrible.
Yeah.
It was horrible. Maybe that rib injury that he had contributed to most of that, you know, poor performance that he had in Pittsburgh. But good gosh, he was horrible. I have never seen a Baker Mayfield game worse than that.
It was bad.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's a worse game, but that was horrible. I'm still a little bit high on the Browns, you know, because of that run game. That run game is still good. Kareem Hunt, and whenever Nick Chubb gets back, and you still have Jarvis Landry, you still have Odell Beckham Jr. So maybe I'm still a little bit confident in the Browns, but you gotta put up a shut up at one point.
Yeah.
Because if you want to be taken seriously as a contender, you gotta beat teams like Pittsburgh. Doesn't matter how good their defense is. You gotta put a whooping on Pittsburgh sometime. It doesn't have to be a blowout win. Maybe a close win. But good Lord, you gotta beat someone.
They have to beat the Bengals if they want to be taken seriously in the AFC.
They should
stomp them. They don't need to just barely win. They need to decisively put it. This is a statement game and an opportunity for them to make a mark by just going 35-10, you know, and beating the crap out of the Bengals. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but that's what they need for to gain some confidence back after last week's game.
Yeah, and they should do that, even if the Bengals, you know, had a substantial lead against the Colts last week, which they shouldn't have had. The Colts shouldn't have won that game. 100% shouldn't have won that game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is a statement game. You got to put up a shove at some point and stop being talked about some pretender in that AFC North because they've had Baltimore in week one, got blown out. They had Pittsburgh just last week, got blown out. Put some good wins on the board, please, so I can start taking you seriously, please. Please, Browns. Zach, final two games of the slate. We just had the game that was just moved to Sunday Night Football. Seattle and Arizona. The Seahawks, Russell Wilson, that's all there is to say. Maybe DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, but that's all there is to say. Those three have been absolutely insane this year. I want to give some special props to DK Metcalf, who's been carrying my fantasy team week after week. Props to you, DK Metcalf. The Cardinals, they've had their up and downs. They had those first two wins, especially that surprising first win of the year in San Francisco. Then they dropped two more games, and I believe they won their next two, I believe. So the Jets, and they had the lowly Cowboys after those two losses. So, Zach, we know what is going to come with Seattle. Russell Wilson, Brian Schottenheimer, and Pete Carroll are going to let that man throw the ball all over the field to his playmakers, which we've been clamoring for and banging on the table for all year and all these past couple years after Brian Schottenheimer and Pete Carroll have been drunkenly obsessed with running the football behind that disgusting offensive line. But respect to them, they've improved over these last couple years. Arizona, they have these weird moments each and every week that you say, oh, the Cardinals are legit, and they go, oh, the Cardinals have some work to do. Zach, do you think the Cardinals are legit? Do you think they're legit?
No. Let me tell you something. Kyler Murray completed under 40% of his passes versus Dallas. Under 40%. And he's the first quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, to complete under 40% of his passes but still have an 80-yard touchdown among that. Listen, Dallas's defense sucks. And I don't believe in Kyler Murray. I still don't. He's had two games where his yards per attempt are under 6, which is a trend that he had last year. The thing is that he can run. And that's, for whatever reason, those little baby legs can carry him faster than anybody else in the NFL. People are saying that they want to see Tyreek Hill and him do a 40-yard dash. I think Tyreek Hill would blow him away, but, you know, what do I know? But Seattle is good. there's just no way around it. To me, Seattle right now is the best team in the NFL, and I think it's very close, top three right now with the way that's going. But I think Seattle gets the edge because Russell Wilson is playing at an MVP level. He's never gotten an MVP vote. DK Metcalf looks great. Tyler Lockett looks great. And Chris Carson is now going to be coming off a bye week with some rest. He's going to look explosive on this game. The thing that concerns me about this being an upset game is Arizona is one of the best deep passing defenses. So they can actually defend the deep pass well, and that's what DK Metcalf does really well is the deep passes or the deep receptions. Mm-hmm. So we'll see, but it's Seattle. I mean, this Arizona team is – I'm out on it. I know people want Arizona to be cool because they like Cliff Kingsbury. They like Kyler Murray. They like the newness and freshness of it. But it's not a good team because they don't know what they want to do with Kenyon Drake. They don't know what they want to do with Chase Edmond. DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray, I think they were 1-for-6 in their connection versus Dallas of all teams. It's just not a good team right now. It may be better next year, but they lost Chandler Jones. So I think the Seattle team is just going to whoop them.
That's bold. That's bold. I buy it to the Cardinals a little more than you do, just because that Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins connection has been absolutely insane this year. I believe before, their game against Dallas, DeAndre Hopkins had 100 yards in every single game that he's been a Cardinal, which is, it's expected, DeAndre Hopkins is arguably the best wide receiver in football, but I don't think we expected that immediate success that we saw during these first 6 weeks of the season. And speaking of, Kyler Murray's yard per attempt numbers, I've always hated that number, only because of that Kyler Murray has, the arm talent to drive the ball and throw it deep down the field. But Cliff Kingsbury's offense is full of screens, so many screens, bubble screen, all that short passing cutesy stuff, I hate it. I don't like it all the time. And that's what Cliff Kingsbury's offense is. So many screens, so many short passes that it just doesn't give Kyler Murray the chance to throw the ball down the field a whole bunch, which is a shame and somewhat pivotal, especially when, the Cardinals have all that speed on offense. There's Annie Isabella, there's Christian Kirk, two guys that can actually fly down the field, and Kyler Murray doesn't even get to throw the ball deep to him.
Well, let me ask you a question. We're in year two of Kyler Murray, and Cliff Kingsbury is a good offensive-minded coach, right? If he thought that Kyler Murray could go deep on a consistent basis or throw it deep, don't you think he would install an offense to do that?
See, yes and no. Yes, because, the yes answer is, the most basic of answers. That's the basic logic of things. But Cliff Kingsbury's offense has always been like this. Even when he was at Texas Tech, that offense has been like that. I'm not saying, Kyler Murray is some godly, thrower of the deep ball. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that I want to see, Kingsbury take better advantage of Murray's electric arm and the speed that he has with those two guys, and Kirk and Isabella and DeAndre Hopkins, who can go deep most of the time. So I just want to see more, attempts at explosive plays down the field. I think that will give me a lot more confidence in the Cardinals and that offense, because I like that defense, but Chandler Jones is gone, so my confidence has gone down a little bit. But I just want to see more shots down the field with that arm of Murray, the playmakers that they have, wide receiver. And just stop relying on the short game so much. The short game's fine. It's fine. But you have an electric, a guy with an electric arm in Murray, you have all that speed at the wide receiver position. Just take advantage of it, Don't make yourself predictable each and every week. That's how the Cardinals get in trouble sometimes. They keep kicking themselves, making these mistakes, and they just stick it to the script. They're not doing anything exceptionally, well. I mean, say, the Cardinals really did. So, yeah. I think we'll both pick Seattle, but I think it could be more of a closer game just because that Seahawks defense is bad. But the pride of that Seahawks defense, and it has to be right now, and it has to be the rest of the year until they get some additions, just cost turnovers. That's the only way they're going to have success on defense. Their corners are not good. They don't have any special good pass rushers. Bobby Wagner's there. Jamal Adams is there, but Adams is hurt. So that's the only way I see the Cardinals making it to postseason. They can take advantage of that bad Seahawks defense. So I believe I said it before. We're both taking Seattle, right? Seattle.
Right.
Let's give a score prediction on this one. I'll go. Zach, how about you go first? How about you go
first? I'm going to go 42-35.
Ooh, high scoring. I like that. I'll say maybe 38-35. I'll make it high scoring and I'll make it close. So it should be a good Sunday night football game, actually. But we're going to move on to the final game of the week. Zach, me and you are both, you know, Titans guys. We're covering the Titans up here in Nashville. This is the most hyped Titans game I've seen, you know, in the city since when? I can't even put a finger. Do you know?
I would say probably the most hyped. I'd say the last time the Steelers were here back in 08, as far as the energy surrounding both teams entering Nashville. Like when the Titans had the chance to get into the playoffs with Marcus's nerve injury versus the Colts, the fans were hype. But we, at the game, got let down, right? Right before the game, everybody got let down. So, to me, this is probably the most hype with reason and energy surrounding it. And I think that it's going to be a fun game. You have the number two offense versus number two defense, or number one defense versus whatever stat or metric you're going at. But these are both the top three defense in the Steelers and the top three offense in the Titans. And it's basically the unstoppable force versus the immovable object, and it's gonna be fun. I think they're gonna attack the middle of the field with Robert Spillane. The Titans are, and I think that this undrafted free agent linebacker, they're gonna know he was on our practice squad, so they know him, and now he was on theirs, got called up. Mm-hmm. He's slow. It looks like Jonnu is a full go. I know A.J. Brown, a little cause for concern because he didn't practice yesterday, but he was on the radio yesterday and didn't say anything, and sounded like in good spirits, so I think he's going to be okay. This offense, Corey Davis is back. Michael Pruitt is back. I mean, this offense is at full strength outside of Taylor Lewan, and I know that's a big loss, a big deal, but I think that with a full week of with preparing for what's across the way from Tyson Brailo and for him to be a little bit more integrated with the Titans offensive line all week, instead of getting second team reps, he's getting first team reps. I'm not too worried about it. I think the Steelers defense, they've had the second easiest schedule overall with opposing offenses that they've faced. I'm not saying they're not good. I mean, obviously they're good because they're taking advantage of these bad teams, but we're not a bad team. We're not a bad offense. And so I think it will be a lower scoring close game, maybe like 28-21 is kind of what I'm feeling. And I think the Titans are going to win because it's a regular season and offenses win in the regular season. If this was maybe if they were meeting in the playoffs, I'd feel a little different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, but before that score prediction, I was going to ask you, how concerned are you, you know, about Tyson Brailo, you know, being out there left tackle, because, you know, that's still a defense. It's TJ Watt. There's Bud Dupree, and we saw it, the times that Cimbrello, you know, got in there to fill in for Lewan, I believe it was during the Minnesota game and the Texas game last week. He had some real bad snaps, but I'll give him some credit. In that Houston game, he got in earlier after he had that bad snap against J.J. Watt. He got into a groove, and he got settled in. So are you even concerned at all for Cimbrello being on potentially being on an island 1v1 in pass protection against Bud Dupree or TJ Watt?
In an island situation, yeah. I don't know if they will be putting him on an island. I think he'll be all right in that regard. I think it's not gonna be the most perfect game a left tackle's ever played, but I think it's gonna be serviceable enough where it's not totally gonna derail our chances at winning. I think that we got to figure out how to run the ball, most importantly, because we got to keep them honest and keep these linebackers honest with some play action and stuff like that. Because that also buys your offensive line a little bit of time, that little half second, you know, on that kind of stuff. But I think that Michael Pruitt will probably be on that side and or maybe in a fullback position and trying to come back and block. It will be interesting. like if it was just if I felt like there was going to be a they were going to leave him on an island like they did in that first snap in that Houston game, which is mind-boggling, then yeah, I'd be a little bit more concerned. I just think that with a full week of preparing, this coaching staff always puts our players in the best position to succeed week in and week out. If this was the Titans team of 2 to 3 years ago, then I'd be saying a different story. But this is a coaching staff that is just clicking on all cylinders with its players.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, you know. I think we've had enough time to see this Arthur Smith offense, you know, going at its full strength and clicking. So, and I think we're both in agreement that that play action game is going to help Ty Sombrello a lot, even if the run game, you know, isn't working, because like you said, that play action game throughout, you know, ever since Ryan Tannehill came in and Derrick Henry, you know, has been tearing defenses up. It's kept a lot of defenses honest, and it's allowed Ryan Tannehill to take some of that stuff underneath and take the shots when he's needed to. So it'll be interesting to see. I want to see how many times Arthur Smith will, you know, leave Ty Sombrello out there if he has to, especially on those third downs. If those third downs get too long, then you start getting concerned and you start getting to the ideas of chips, keeping an extra guy in there to protect and sacrificing a guy that are running a route. So it'll be interesting to see. And that's the thing where, especially the run game, that Steelers rush defense, and typically, maybe not typically, but I think it's maybe been a trend where we see great pass rushing teams, but they don't, you know, stop the run very well. That's what KC, it was with Kansas City last year. After that week 10 game, you know, where they lost against Tennessee, that pass defense got a lot better, but their run defense just wasn't that good. It didn't take a step forward. But it's not the case with the Steelers. That Steelers rush defense is really good. They held, I believe, Cleveland to under, I believe it was around under 80 yards rushing last week. I might be wrong. I may be totally wrong with that. I haven't looked at the stats, but they were really good against the run last week. Jack, how confident are you in Titans' run game to have success? Which is, you know, it's ran, it hasn't been consistently successful this year, but it's always, you know, came through when it counted, especially in that Minnesota game in that second half where Derrick Henry had 2 touchdowns. Zach, how confident are you in this Titans run game to take advantage and beat up on that great Steelers rush defense?
It's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a inefficient game when it comes down to it. But, you know, it's hard to bet against Derrick Henry right now after seeing him just find his groove in the Texans game. And, you know, with no Devin Bush up in the middle coming down and shooting the A-gaps, I think that Derrick Henry can run up the middle against the Steelers team this week just because Devin Bush is out. I go back and forth because I want to say that it's going to be an inefficient game, but I hate to bet against Derrick Henry right now. And yeah. I think it's going to be an okay game for the rushing offense for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that would concern me, you know, with this run game, you know, having a successful day is Cam Hayward. And Cam Hayward has dominated so many years and he just doesn't get the love for it. And he's dominated against the Titans. You know, each time he's played against him. I remember that week 3 preseason game last year. And it's like, oh, it's just a preseason game. I get it. But it was the 3rd preseason game of the year. And as we all know, that's the game where the starters usually, you know, get their most PT before they exit for the rest of the night. And even though it's still preseason, that Cam Hayward, and specifically that Steelers defensive line, whooped up on that Titans O-line to the point where Mike Vrabel had to take Marcus Mariota out early, because he was just getting destroyed so much. That line was getting beaten. Marcus Mariota was taking a beating. So that's Cam Hayward being back there just would concern me if I was Arthur Smith right now. Luckily for the Titans, though, and I believe it's a stat I saw a couple days ago, the Steelers, they have a good run defense, but they're vulnerable up the middle. I believe they give up around 4, 4.5, maybe 5 yards a carry with runs up the middle. So running behind Ben Jones, Nate Davis, Roger Saffold, that might be your best bet, especially with Terry Lewan out. You can't really run, you know, your best runs to the left, which Arthur Smith and Titans love to do. Derrick Henry loves running left. That's where he finds his most success. So maybe running up the middle might be the formula to beating that run, that Steelers rush defense. Who knows? we'll see this Sunday when the Titans take on the Steelers at home. Zach, it's been fun having you on. But before we, you know, close it all out, I want to get a score prediction for you. Score prediction, and I want a detailed reason on why you think the Titans are going to win this football game.
I think they're going to be kept under 30 points just because of the Steelers' defense. And I think it's going to be 28-21. And I think that you're going to see two Derrick Henry touchdowns and a Ryan Tannehill pass touchdown and a Ryan Tannehill rush touchdown. I think that that's what we're going to see right there.
Ooh, that's nice. The rush touchdown is a little nice. That's a special twist.
Yeah.
On at the end. I love the Titans offense right now. This is probably the best Titans offense we've seen in the history of the franchise. I will go that far. I think right now with the way they're performing, this is the best stretch of offensive football we've seen for the Titans ever. They've been that good. It's been the same to watch what Arthur Smith has been doing with that offense. The only thing that would concern me about the Titans is that defense. They're vulnerable in the secondary. Jonathan Joseph has a tendency. He doesn't have the legs anymore. So throughout the year, he's been beaten by speed. He's been beaten by speed, and that's why he played so much off coverage last week. The Texans are full of speed. He had to play off, and they were giving up those 6-7 yard out routes underneath. It was making second down and third down much easier to convert. So if they get Adoree Jackson back, which he's been practicing this week, we'll have to see what he does today in practice. I don't know if Mike Vrabel will be ready to pull the trigger on activating him off IR this week. Maybe next week. I think next week would probably be the safest bet, but I wouldn't, rule it out for this week. If they get Adoree Jackson back this week and he plays totally fine, then I really, really think that the Titans defense has a good shot at, having their first good day of the season ever since that Denver Broncos game. That pass rush needs to step up. Harold Landry, that Steelers offensive line is really good. So that pass rush needs to step up. De'Veon Clowney, Harold Landry, Derek Rovers, and Vic Beasley, they need some good snaps. They need some good snaps. Jeffrey Simmons as well, because that Steelers run game has been sneaky good this year. I'm not the biggest fan of James Conner. I imagine you're not either.
No.
We'll see. We'll see what that Titans defense does with that Steelers offense. As for score prediction, I think like you said, offenses win in the regular season. They're built for the regular season. So I think I'll go with the Titans here, maybe 25-22, something like that. I like close games this weekend, and I think this will be a close game. This weekend. Zach, it's been real fun having you on. I enjoy talking football with you. I do. We have our heated moments from time to time.
That's what makes sports good.
Exactly, man. You get it. True sports fans get it. But in the end, we both can enjoy sitting down watching good football whenever it's on. And that's what we'll have this weekend on Sunday, specifically Sunday night. And during the afternoon window, we have Steelers Titans, probably the best game of the weekend. So, Zach, it was real fun having you on. I respect your perspective, your opinion, and I was real glad to have you on. Before we leave, how about you plug yourself one more time, where you do your work, which sites you're working for, and then we can get out of here.
Yeah, it's Football and Other F-Words. You can hear us on any basically any streaming service you get your podcasts on, Football and Other F-Words. We release it Tuesday mid-morning after we record. And then I also write and work for BroadwaySportsMedia.com. We have basically annual subscriptions or monthly subscriptions for all kinds of premium content. We have John Glennon, Mike Herndon. We cover the Titans. We cover the Nashville Soccer Club, and we cover the Nashville Predators. We have gambling and fantasy advice and pages and stuff. And we also have fantasy podcasts. We have unique perspective on podcasts because we have a couple former coaches that do Coach's Corner on Wednesday, and they really dive into those X's and O's. We have all 22 breakdowns. We have everything that you want and are looking for in a Titans fan site. So BroadwaySportsMedia.com is where you can go to find out more about that.
Yeah, some real good stuff around Broadway Sports Media over there. You guys are doing some good work over there. As for me, you already know where all you who listen know where to find me. But if you don't, and you just need to know one more time, it's at Trey Watkins, 099 on Twitter. Writes for the Titans/NFL for Black Sports Online at Titans Brawl. This week's 7 preview shows a wrap. Follow the End Zone Pod on Twitter. Give a 5-star review. And I hope you enjoy it. Eric puts a lot of time into these podcasts. And I know him being away this week sucks for him because he loves podcasts. He loves bringing his guests on, and he loves talking football. He just loves ball. So if you have any sort of, not let's just not say sympathy, if you're nice and you love Eric, leave a 5-star review. Follow the End Zone Pod on Twitter and just spread the podcast. Spread it to your mom, your grandmother, your dad, your neighbor, your neighbor's dog. Not your neighbor's dog, but spread it anywhere. Spread it anywhere you want. Spread it anywhere. This week 7 preview show, the End Zone Pod, is a wrap. We'll see you guys next week. Eric will return next week with another guest. I'll be on there as usual, but we'll have a guest as well. So this preview shot is a wrap, and I hope you guys have a great day. Peace out.